Welcome to the Better Relationships, Better Work webcast, where we explore how to make work better through the power of relationships. My name's Jason Lauritsen. I'm the author of two books, a leadership trainer and speaker on a mission to fix how we treat people at work. Now, in today's episode, we explore what it looks like to practice repair in our relationships when things don't go quite right. And this includes why it's helpful to treat our relationships like we treat the selfies we take. I'll be honest, this insight kind of blew my mind. We also explore the power of investing our time and full attention in others and how to do that as a manager and leader at work to build better relationships with our people. Now, my guest this week is Mac Andrews. Mac is a leadership coach who guides first-time managers to navigate the common challenges and pitfalls that can make or break that critical transition from individual contributor to team leader. She has an incredible program called the New Manager Accelerator that you can learn more about and check out at her website, which I've shared in the episode description. And she's also prolific on YouTube. She puts out incredible videos and content that I am envious of, and you should check out. And you can find a link to her YouTube channel in the description as well. So this was such a fun and insightful conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Mac, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation.
Thank you for having me, you know, on for this conversation. I'm looking forward to it. I love diving into all things relationship related.
All right. Well, let's do it. So let's start. I warned you, we're going to start by getting to know you a little bit, your relational style. And I think the question that I want to start with you is let's probe friendship a little bit and how you think about friendship. So when you think about your close friends, what would you say is the quality you value most highly in a friend?
I value a listener. Yeah. I value someone that truly listens, not just surface listening, but is listening to all the cues that I'm putting out, because I'm just the type of person, I think sometimes when I'm talking with people, not sometimes, oftentimes when I'm talking to people, sometimes I'm saying one thing, but my body language is saying something a little bit different. And so I need a friend when it comes to like good friends that are so in tuned and are deeply listening enough to know that, like, if I say I'm fine, but there's something else that I'm also saying, that they'll say, wait, Mac, you're saying you're fine, but are you truly fine? I'm picking up on something else. So that's the quality that I really love in a friend.
It's like listening paired with enough commitment or courage to then step into that intuition.
Yeah. Mm. I really love that. Really,
that's an important thing. It's like your face betrays you. I will do that sometimes. I'll be like, okay, try again. I do that with my wife all the time. I'll be like, you know, how are you doing? She's like, yeah, I'm okay. And I'm like, okay, try again. You're obviously not okay. Let's do that over. Okay. How are you? Mm-hmm. And so that's awesome. That's awesome.
That's a true friend, right? That would do that. That would step into that arena with you. Or like you said, have that courage to ask. Because it is very easy to just go, okay, well, she said she's okay or whatnot, and keep going on with the day.
But it is. And those conversations are tricky, right? I mean, you don't know what they're going to say next. And unless you are confident enough in being able to respond to whatever that is or how to respond, a lot of people just are, they're so worried about the next thing that gets said that they'll not ask that question, even if they do feel it.
Yeah.
So what about the other end of the spectrum? What is the fastest way to lose you as a friend?
The fastest way to lose me as a friend. It's the not listening. That drives me insane, but not necessarily the aspect of like not taking it like a step deeper, that intuition that you were talking about. It's the not being present. Because I know that when I am with someone, I'm truly with them in that moment. I'm like doing the very best I can to literally silence everything else so that I can be with that person. Now, do I get it perfect every time? No, because life is life, right? But for the most part, I make that that commitment in the moment that if I'm with you, I'm with you. If I'm out for dinner with you, I'm with you. And so when somebody is in a room with me or interacting with me and I just feel like they're not fully present, I feel like in that moment, you haven't prioritized the relationship like I have prioritized the relationship. And so that makes me feel like, is this really a true friendship?
Yeah, it's sending a strong message that there's something else that's more important to them in that moment.
In that moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, life is, you know, where everyone's fighting their own battles, right? So I understand. But then I would rather you just tell me in that moment.
Agreed.
As opposed to just be distracted to the point where I'm like, okay.
It's when it becomes a pattern of behavior that you're like, yep, nope, we're moving on. We're moving on.
Yeah.
So one last get to know you question. When you think back about growing up as a child, what's something that you learned about relationships when you were growing up that still shape how you think about or show up in relationships today?
When I was growing up, one of the things that I observed is that my mom always chose to go deep rather than wide when it came to relationships, meaning she didn't have a whole lot of friends, but she had like a handful that she was really close to and that she can rely on and count on and all the things that she needed to, because I grew up in a single parent family. And so for my mom, she was alone for a lot of things, and she would reach out to her very close network of like four people. I can remember these four people that she was really close to. And she was not interested in making like necessarily more friends. She was just interested in going really deep and being there for these four people as best as she could, and then tapping into them when she needed them. And I think I've learned that as well, because as I've grown, I was never the type of person that was like, oh, I want a lot of friends. I've always been like, I want just a few, and I want to be able to dedicate myself to them and go as deep as possible with each one, so that like, I feel like I know them so well and I feel so comfortable, and vice versa, that we can just reach out to each other for anything because we know each other so well. So that's what I learned from her.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing that. I think that sets a beautiful foundation for us to step into this conversation. And as you know, I gave you a bit of homework to reflect on a couple of relationships. Yeah. And so I want to start with your personal relationship. I asked you to think about a personal relationship in your life that's strong and positive and healthy, one that maybe we can learn from. And so who did you decide to share with us today?
Yeah, I decided that I was going to share with you my BFF, Claire, who is somebody that I've known since I was literally 4 years old. Yeah, she's my longest friend.
And so tell me about that relationship. What is it about that relationship that is so important to you, or that feels so healthy and positive to you?
This is going to sound weird, but I think why it's so healthy is because of the fact that we've been through a lot of ups and downs and a lot of challenges, and we still come through on the other side. It's like every time we go through a challenge, we actually become closer. Instead of it separating us, we become closer, because it's like we learn something or we uncover something about one another that we didn't realize before. And instead of allowing whatever the challenge was to separate us, we care so much about the relationship that we're willing to talk it out, like until there is nothing else left to say, so that we can come through on the other side, because neither of us are going to let this relationship go for anything. I mean, it's not a toxic relationship or anything like that, right? So there's no need for that. It's just that, you know, as you grow, you see things differently, whatever the case might be. And we're always willing to engage in that kind of like friction that naturally exists in order to get through to the other side. And we've been through it enough now that we're like, it's worth it. We're going to get there. Yeah.
That's super interesting. I'm curious about how you do that, sort of how that works. And so can you think of an example that you're comfortable sharing with us, that when this happened and kind of when it happens, when the conflict arises or whatever happens, like, what does it look like to engage and move through that? I'm just curious what the mechanics of that look like.
Yeah, this is something I'm comfortable sharing. They're usually so personal, but I can share with you kind of like the journey that we take or what ends up happening. So it'll usually look like, I'll say something perhaps that she didn't receive necessarily well, or had a viewpoint or whatever that she didn't receive very well. And because we consistently talk to one another, if a little bit of time passes, the other person will realize, wait, I said something or something happened that has caused this slight amount of what feels like tension and silence. So she'll reach out to me and say, hey, like, I was reflecting back on the conversation that we had the other day, and I observed a change in, like, a shift in your body language or whatever the case might be. And I just wanted to talk about it. Did something I say offend you, or did something that I, whatever the case might be, that I shared, make you take a step back in any way? And then that gives me an opportunity to then, or her the opportunity, I guess I flipped it, to engage in that conversation. And then we just work through it. And then it's just a matter of trying to understand the other person in that moment. And sometimes that requires, like, taking a step back and saying, you know, I've taken what you said. I understand why you said it. I need some time to process it. Let's come back to this. We've had moments like that where it's like, okay, wasn't expecting that. Let me process that. Can I have a few days to come back to that? And usually when we come back to it, it just feels like a much better place than us. Like, because when we were younger, we would try and process it together in that moment, and it would always blow up. I'm just thinking of different instances. It would always blow up because we weren't, like, the greatest at emotional regulation when we were growing up. But now that we've realized that that doesn't actually help us get through to the other side effectively, we've inserted a break. So the both of us have agreed that, hey, we're gonna, if we feel like we're gonna get to that place where a blow up might happen, we're going to take a little bit of a step back and a break and tell the other person we need time to process so that we can come back and further engage in the conversation. But essentially it's just usually the other person observing that something is wrong or that some tension exists. Again, when you know somebody that well, you know, if you've upset them, you know, you could feel it. And so it's just having that courage to say, did I upset you? Did I say something? Did my actions hurt you in some way? And then just being willing to continue down that path.
Well, and I find too, and I'm guessing, you can tell me if this is true, but I'm guessing also that there are times when you sense something and you probably now, because you care so much about this relationship, you'll default or defer to being like, hey, is there something? Did I say something? Did I do something?
Yeah.
And then they will say back, no, why did you say that? And it's like, well, you don't feel, you know, something feels like it's off. Right. It's like, well, okay, this other thing happened. And I'm carrying that into this. Like, this isn't about you. It's about, like, I find my experience has been in those kinds of interactions that about half the time, it's not about me. It's about something else is happening for that person, but it ends up being a great conversation anyways, because they need to talk about it. Maybe weren't going to, they were trying to bottle it up, but you can see it and feel it. And you give them when you ask, you give them the invitation to open up about whatever it is. Does that happen to you as well?
Yeah, that happens less with her. Maybe it's because of the fact that, I'm not saying that it hasn't, it just happens less because of the fact that we're so into, like, she knows everything sure. that's going on, so much so. But I have other friends where that could happen, less so with her. But I get what you're saying, for sure, for sure.
And I guess we've already kind of talked about it, but if you could extract any particular lessons or advice about things you've learned, because what you're talking about here is repair in a relationship. And
it's true.
Are there specific tactics? I mean, you just talked about it, is like, it's sort of like, if you see it, say it, or if you notice it, say it, ask. But in addition to that, are there other things that you have found have been really helpful, or that you find are techniques that the two of you use in that conversation that is helpful?
Any techniques that we use in that conversation?
Or around the conversation, I guess.
I think it's the commitment to not bringing it up again. It's not necessary. Like, we forgive and move on. Like, the other day something happened, and I said to her, something happened where I messed up. Okay. That's what I'm going to tell you. And I said to her, I am so sorry. And I think she picked up on the fact that I was feeling really bad about it. And she said, Mac, don't forget, we have agreed that our relationship is like a collection of selfies, meaning we will throw out the ones where we're not smiling and we look a little crooked, and we will only hold on to the ones where we look great. So from my perspective, this crooked picture is gone, and all I'm holding on to are the great ones.
That is amazing. Collection of selfies. That's a keeper. Yeah. That one's going to be with me for a while. What a great, great way to think about it. This webcast is sponsored by my longtime friends at Inspiring Workplaces. Now, if you are someone who's working to create an engaging and inspiring workplace for your employees, and of course you are, that's why you're here, then listen up. Inspiring Workplaces is a global community of tens of thousands of HR and employee experience professionals that you can join for free. As a member, you will gain access to thousands of articles and videos and podcasts and events that will help you change the world by changing the world of work. They are also home to the Inspiring Workplaces Awards that recognize the best workplaces in the world. You can learn about the application process at their website. So please go visit inspiring-workplaces.com to learn more and to join the community. That's inspiring-workplaces.com. Okay, so that was great stuff. Let's shift over to the second relationship that I asked you to think about, which was a relationship sort of born out of work or through work that's had an impact on your career in some positive way. So who did you come prepared to talk about for this one?
Yeah, it was one of my previous bosses, who was my mentor, and is pretty much one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Because he took the time to invest in me and teach me all the lessons during his career. Yeah.
So how would you describe, if you had to give us kind of the nutshell version of what your relationship with him was like, how would you, what could you tell us about it?
we would just like sit there doing our one-on-ones and talk. Just, I don't know, if that relationship was just full of sharing insights and gems with one another. I would usually, it would start with him saying, all right, tell me about your week, debrief me on what's going on. And then I would like go through it And then he would look for like one little nugget and say, you know, Mac, I've been through this before. Let me tell you this story about. That's how it would usually start. And I just through his stories, I began to know him better, but also I started to glean some juicy gems of wisdom as a result of it. So yeah, that was kind of what the relationship looked like. It was just sharing insights, bouncing back insights with one another.
So as you think about that relationship and sort of your, how that had an impact on you, what were the things that you took away from that about how to be in relationship, particularly with, you know, people that we work with or that we are, have a professional relationship with? What did you learn that you took away that you could use elsewhere to have better relationships or foster that kind of impact on others?
The importance of investing the time in order to earn someone's trust and essentially just build a relationship. I think sometimes in general, we want things to happen really quickly at work. Like I always tell the managers that I work with, right? Like you guys want to earn this trust from your team members really quickly. You want them to feel like, you know, that they should, you know, well, essentially that they should trust you right away. And that doesn't happen right away. You have to invest the time. And these things take time, like any other relationship. And so I think that was the biggest thing I took away from him, because it didn't feel like he was ever rushing me. And he always took the time to talk to me. And that is how a relationship between the two of us have built. And that is how we got to know each other well. And that's how I began to view him as a mentor and someone that I truly trust with my life, my career, all the things, because he took that time. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
I was trying to figure out how to say it when you...
No, that makes perfect sense. One of the things that I have said, it feels like 1,000 times, because it's something that is so important, is helping people understand that time is the currency of relationships.
It is.
And so there is no shortcut.
Yeah. We want it though, right? Especially within the context of work, we're willing to do it. Somewhat, I think most people are willing to do it in their personal life, but for some reason at work, people just want to get through it quickly. And I think it has to do with the performance results aspect of things. Yep. But there, you can't.
You can make lots of things more efficient, but building really quality relationships, that there's not a great way to do that. Sure, you can avoid. I mean, this whole webcast series is about trying to help us understand the things we can do to maybe accelerate the development of our relationships a little bit, but you can't do it without putting the time in. Right. And so this is a really beautiful way of highlighting that, right? Showing how powerful that is. You know, when someone makes time for you, there's nothing more important. We all have the same amount of time, and what we do with our time tells the rest of the world what matters to us.
Matters.
And so when I give you my time, that means you matter to me. And so this is an important thing. So I think you already hinted at this, but let's transition this into then, if we're giving advice to managers or leaders, based on this idea that investing time is key, what tips do you give, or how do you help them do that? What do you tell managers and leaders about how to practice that in a way that builds better relationships with their people?
Yeah, well, first of all, by prioritizing the time as a component of your role, right? Like I always tell them, please, please, please make sure that you have a cadence for one-on-one check-ins, and that you stick with that cadence, and that when you are in that one-on-one with your team members, that you're fully present, because that is a demonstration of an investment in them. That's you demonstrating that you care and you are investing in them. So develop that cadence, make sure you stick to it. And then when you're there, be present. Make the most of that time because it matters. That's what they're going to remember. Just like I remember from my mentor, he was so busy. He was so busy. But man, I felt so good for that like 60 minutes for the two of us were just, you know, bouncing back all sorts of ideas with one another. And, you know, he's asking me questions and all these things. I expanded and grew so much as a result of that 60 minutes every single week. Even though he was really busy, he was like the managing partner of the organization, right? Like he could have done other things, but he chose to be there with me. He chose to really be present. And as a result, I'm where I am today. So that's why I tell the managers, please come up with a cadence for your one-on-ones. And then on top of it, don't just let it be a checkbox. Really be there. Prepare for it. Ask open-ended, genuine questions. Make the most of that time. Make it not necessarily productive, but full, if that makes any sense. Like make it whole.
It does. It goes back to, I mean, the very first thing you said too is listen.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you do nothing else, listen.
Yeah. Makes
Ask sense. A question or two and just listen is so powerful. So I love that. Simple, powerful stuff. The other lesson that I want to explore with you about how we bring this to work is this idea of the collection of selfies. Because I think what an awesome potential way of thinking about the relationship that you're building with the people you lead. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, this has my brain kind of spinning, like, what could this look like? Like, what does that mean? What are the lessons? What does that look like in practice if we were taking a collection of selfies approach to our relationship with our people? So I'm curious what comes to mind for you.
Yeah, what came to mind immediately when we had that conversation actually was, when I had this conversation with Claire, was the fact that, so I think it's very easy as a manager when you are needing to hold someone accountable or someone fails to meet like an expectation to almost hold that against them for a really long time. And it becomes this like mark or a stain on them, right? A stain in the relationship. But it's much better for you, I think, that if once you talk to the person about something, you just move on from it. Keep a short account, essentially, is what I'm saying. Keep short accounts.
I think, don't you think it's important too to also let them know, right? I mean, that
yeah, that's part true.
Part of the power of what Claire did for you was like, hey, remember.
Yeah.
This doesn't define us. This is a moment in time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to judge you based on your worst moments. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, I choose to be with you because of all the best moments. And I think that's such a powerful thing. And I think it's something, my sense is that we do this backwards, like to your point about how we do, you know, we'll make time in our life for our friends and the people we care about. I mean, hopefully we do. If you're not, that's something you should be doing.
Right.
But hopefully we do, but then we don't at work. And I think this is the same kind of thing. You know, like I think about my relationship with my wife and I still don't know, like she is, and I told her just recently that I'm like, I don't think I really understood. I know I didn't. I didn't understand what it meant to be like fully, fully accepted and loved wholly until this relationship. Because when I have unlovable moments, I know it's hard to believe, but
don't
I do
we
have
all though.
Right? We have those moments.
We're imperfect.
And it's like she spends zero, like she moves through that in a way that it's like it didn't even land because she holds her, you know, she holds me in such a positive regard that those things go, which then allows me to forgive myself and to move through those things so much faster because of that. And I just wonder, we do the opposite at work. At least it feels to me like we do. Right. Don't you think like instead
for sure.
of we define people by their worst moments or the mistakes that they make and it's just torturous. And we wonder why people feel the way they do about work.
Yeah.
And so wouldn't that be awesome? I just wonder what that that conversation looks like as a manager to say, I know you're doing your best. And I know today wasn't our best day, but here's how I think about our relationship. Your career here is like a collection of selfies, right? We're going to keep the good ones that we like. That's going to be the collection, and we're going to delete and move past the ones that didn't turn out the way we want. Like, how liberating would that be?
Yeah. I love that.
It's all you. I love this. I'll be attributing this back to you. Collection of selfie management.
Claire.
Just go. Yeah. Claire. It's like, Claire, go put a trademark on that. Cause that is a book. There's something in there. Claire and Mac need to write a book. Teach us how to do this. So this is fantastic. Mac, I knew this would be a fun conversation. It always is. You are so wise and so generous, and I so appreciate your heart and your mind for this work and for how you show up in the world. So thank you so much for making time and being here with me.
It was fun. Thank you so much for inviting me to the table to have this conversation. It was good. It was good reflection too on relationships that I've had, and it made me appreciate these really great relationships in a different way, because I had to like actually think about it and like deconstruct it. So thank you for that opportunity.
My pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode. More importantly, I hope you learned something from the episode that can help you right away. Now, if you'd like to reflect on what you can learn from your own healthy, positive relationships to make work better, I've included a link in the description below where you can access and download what I call the relationship reflection exercise. This includes the same questions that I ask each of my guests to reflect on prior to our conversation on the webcast. Also, if you found today's episode valuable, I'd ask three quick favors of you. Number one, please like the episode. By liking the video and adding a comment if something spoke to you or stood out to you as really significant, you give me some great and valuable feedback, but you also help others find the video. I'd also ask you to subscribe to the channel. That does two important things. One, it makes sure that you won't miss any upcoming episodes, and it sends me the message that you like the kind of content that I'm creating here. And finally, please share this video with someone who you think might benefit. What better gift can you give someone than the gift of better relationships and a better work experience? I'm really grateful that you were here today, and I look forward to seeing you next time.